Today, Christ Jesus performs his priestly work on the cross to bring about the forgiveness of our sins through his blood. Today, God reveals two things to us from the cross. From the cross, he reveals the true ugliness of sin and unmasks it for what it really is: rebellion against God. And from the cross, the Lord reveals the power of his merciful love for us. That his Son would suffer so much to bring about our redemption. Today, we stand with Our Lady in her sorrows as we contemplate those wounds of Jesus which reconciled us with the Father. Jesus' death begins with the betrayal of Judas, selling his master and friend for 30 pieces. If you remember, Judas went to the chief priests and asked, "How much will you give me if I hand him over to you?" And they agreed to 30 pieces of silver. Interesting. Interesting because the money that the priest gave him was temple money. It was money that was set aside to be used for the sacrifice in the temple. Little did they know that that blood money would be used for the true sacrifice to be offered, as Christ himself would lay down his life. And only 30 pieces. 30 pieces of silver is what it cost to purchase a slave in Israel. And so Jesus, the great rabbi, is sold as a slave to purchase our freedom. Then our Lord is taken where he's judged twice. One by a religious court, and secondly, by a human court. There then are the religious leaders and the political leaders. And if you notice, their charges are different. For the priests, they're concerned that Jesus is acting too divine, that he's made himself to be the Son of God. For Pilate, on the other hand, he's concerned and condemns Jesus for being all too human. And so in both courts, Christ stands condemned. I think a Pontius Pilate is a type of patron saint, you could say, in a negative way, of our secular age. He, like so many around us today, was a skeptic, a relativist, a denier of truth. Pilate prided himself in being considered broad-minded. And yet, in his broad-mindedness, he comes to a place of being totally indifferent to right and wrong, and out of expediency is willing to put Jesus to death. You see, he tried. He thought, if I only have Jesus scourged, and he comes out for the mob to see, they'll take pity on him. But instead of pity, it intensifies their hatred for him and amplifies their "crucify him, crucify him." And so he let the mob dictate his decision in a moment of cowardice and crucified our King, Truth himself. Jesus, though, knew all along what he was doing. is he allowed himself to make this journey for us. He knew that as he was scourged and his flesh had those jars of glass and nails pushed into his flesh and ripping it out, that he was atoning for our sins of the flesh, for the sins of the flesh of all humanity from the beginning of time to the end. He knew that as his head was being crowned with thorns, and those long thorns were being forced into his head, into his brain, that he was making atonement for all of the sins of all of humanity, in which we have made thoughtful accusations and sins of judgment. Pride, arrogance. He knew that as his hands were being stretched out and the nails went into them, that he was making atonement for the times that we grasped and refused to be generous in loving our neighbor. As his feet were being nailed to the cross, he knew that he was making atonement for the times that we refused to go out of our way to help somebody in need. Everything he does, everything, to the smallest detail, is to love us and redeem us. We, humanity, have crucified our God and King, and yet what we meant for evil, God meant for good. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.